Well, a Donald Trump rally in Chicago was canceled this past week due to violence. Bernie Sanders has seen hecklers, protesters, and violence at his rallies. Well, they've even grabbed the mic from the presidential candidate's hands. Mm-hmm. President Obama speaks out about the rise in violence. Welcome to the world of presidential politics. It's where the game is rigged and the stakes are high. And now, on to real life.
All in preparation for the challenges that lie ahead. This is a show that feeds the mind with inspiration and truth on the issues of the day. If it's important to your life, you'll find it here. Hosted by Malcolm Out Loud.
Well, as I said on the top of the show here, President Barack Obama came out and spoke just the other day about some of the violence and protesters that he's been hearing and we've all been seeing in a lot of the debates and rallies. And is this something unusual or is this something that is normal in presidential politics? Well, it's Malcolm Out Loud here. Welcome to the show. And again, I've got here Dr. Beverly Jackson joining us today. She's a psychotherapist and author, Dr. Bev Mental Health Counseling. Love this lady. She's joined me before on radio and on television, actually. But the thing about her, she gets the fact of where real people are. She deals with that every day in her own practice. So I thought this would be a good way and a good method in putting all of this under the microscope. Welcome to the show, Dr. Bev.
Thank you for having me again, Malcolm.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you. So let's talk about this. I want to first start with these comments. So President Obama came out this week and said that vulgar and divisive language was damaging America's reputation abroad and leading to violence at GOP frontrunner Donald Trump's rallies. And I quote, he says, "I'm not the only one in the room who's more than a little dismayed about what's been happening on the campaign trail recently." Now, Obama said this to a group of lawmakers at a Capitol Hill luncheon. And it was a kind of a shot at Trump. Obama said offensive rhetoric has been aimed at women, minorities, and Americans who don't look like us or pray like us or vote like we do. And the president added, however, that protesters had engaged in misguided attempts to shut down that speech, adding that we live in a country where free speech is one of the most important rights that we hold. And, you know, to wrap that up, and I quote here, he says, "In response to those attempts, we've seen actual violence and we've heard silence from too many of our leaders." And this was before he praised House Speaker Paul Ryan for decrying the divisive rhetoric. "Too often we've accepted this as somehow the new normal. And it's worth asking ourselves what each of us has done to contribute to this vicious atmosphere in our politics." Well, those were the president's comments, but I wonder, I want to ask you, Dr. Bev, where were these same politicians when Baltimore was on fire and Ferguson got very ugly, and who did they blame that on? And I'll tell you what, a law enforcement police officers on the front lines that risk their lives every day to protect you and I don't think that was fair either. And I mean, I think that's a fair comparison. Those protesters were, that was very ugly. Yes. That was worse than what we're seeing now. But I didn't see the same rhetoric coming out of the White House then and from a lot of political leaders. Do I have a point here? Or?
Well, first of all, I'm an Obama fan. Okay. And one of the things that I really like about Obama is that he's kept this country with a professional kind of attitude, a professional look, civility, integrity. So that's what I look for him for. I agree with you that there have been many incidents in this country, especially over the past few years, that violence is just increasing, which is where I come in at. And I say, these people need mental health. You know, it's like they go for a pack, a crowd, and that in itself becomes some symptomology where one or two or three persons, a group, gets really, really angry and they rev up the rest of the crowd. And before you know it, you have a mob, and that's at the Ferguson, you know, thing. So I look at that in one way. However, because I am an American, I believe in the safety and viability of our troops that fight for us, for the police who are on the line. I was married to a policeman who's now in the FBI. There is nothing I think that we as Americans can do but help enforce them, help enlighten them, help bring more peace. And people being, I don't know about you, Malcolm, when I was growing up, we had this campaign in school where the policemen are your friends.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But it's changed. It's not that way. I mean,
it's not that way anymore. And when it comes to the political debates, I am so sadly disappointed. This is where bad behavior, character, integrity, honesty, those kinds of things that mean much to me and much to the country is out of the window. I have never seen an election like this in my life, and I've been here for a long time.
Right. Well, listen, Dr. Bev, you know, with what you just said now, and you mentioned law enforcement, that you're supportive of law enforcement, and I did not realize that your husband was a police officer before. I didn't even realize that. So you have a total understanding of what it is to be on the front lines then.
Oh, yes.
But yet, listen, I don't see where the political leaders have supported law enforcement, and I certainly don't see where Obama has done that. I don't see where they have supported law enforcement. I mean, what are you seeing that I'm not seeing? Because I think they've created part of the problem when it comes to law enforcement. They've not given back them up. They've not supported them. They've really thrown them under the bus. Are you seeing something different?
Well, I'm not seeing anything different. I'm seeing that, as you said at the top of the show, you know, this political game, as I call it, is mm-hmm. a real game. Mm-hmm. And it is not about winners and losers. It's about, you know, as usual, who cries out the most, who shouts the most, who makes the most drama, who makes the most money. And part of me goes to Obama that he, the Senate, everyone in this country, when this first started happening with the Ferguson and with all these other people, that somebody didn't come up as a collective like a Martin Luther King and say, stop. Mm-hmm. This is madness.
Yeah, there was a lack of leadership.
Crazy. Yeah, it was a total lack of leadership.
Well, but the president didn't come out either and say the right things, quite frankly. Nobody did. There was a lack of leadership, and that was very clear, and that kind of escalated things and made it really bad. So that really was the bigger problem. Well, now we're seeing this.
Well, first of all, let me say that I agree with you on that.
Right.
He didn't come out until later, and his response to it was much softer than I would have wanted.
Than it should have been. That's right.
I wanted somebody to stand up and say, this is not allowed.
Absolutely.
This is not allowed. This is not what you learned in kindergarten. It is not allowed.
All right, I've got to take a quick pause here, Dr. Bev. So I'm going to pause just a moment here. But when we get back just after the quick break here, I want to bring it to, again, the current day so we don't digress too much here and talk about what's going on in these political rallies. Why the divisiveness in the country at this time? Is it healthy? Could it be healthy for our country? Is this sort of where we're morphing again? We'll pick it up right after the break with Dr. Bev. This is Real Life. We are back speaking with Dr. Bev, Dr. Beverly Jackson. She's a psychotherapist, author, Dr. Bev mental health counseling. And again, I think Dr. Bev looks at things every day. She analyzes people, their challenges, their problems, and really gives them comfort and direction. And I thought, how cool would it be to look at everything that's going on in the country through the lens of somebody who deals with helping people. And I want to pick it up right there, Dr. Bev. One of the things I'm seeing in a lot of the discourse that's happening right now that is getting ugly, and you had referenced before the break, you hadn't really seen political rallies quite like this and what have you, but there have been some in past elections. Now, you know, I don't know. Listen, who do we really blame this on at this point? I know who I blame it on. I blame it on the current political environment and what they've done in our Senate, our Congress, and in the administration, how they've become so polarized and have really divided the country. And I want to tell you, this is an administration who ran on unifying the country. There's no unification in our country right now, but here's what I'm wondering and asking. people tend to look at themselves as Democrats and Republicans rather than Americans. That's the first problem I see.
Mm-hmm.
And with all of that, it becomes this, you know, we become enemies within.
Yes.
And then it takes something traumatic to happen to bring the country back together again. And what we're seeing right now with all of this, is it possible at all that this could be healthy for our country? Now, let me just throw this at you first.
Okay.
Is it possible that maybe all of this anger and this morphine and this, you know, I want to take the country this way and no, I want to take the country that way. And is there a possibility that we're sort of trying to figure it out again and trying to right some of the wrongs, and maybe people are just frustrated, you know, with their lives and unemployment being what it is and jobs and business community and the country as a whole? Is there any possibility that it could be good for us, or is that too far off?
You know, Malcolm, I think that we have become such an unhealthy emotional society. And sometimes there was a quote I read from a poet that sometimes it takes chaos to bring about peace.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my prayer, that at this point, all of this emotional negative chaos will bring about some kind of peace. Something has to change. We can't keep carrying this country the way we're carrying. You're right. Diversity, divisiveness, where is it? I mean, it is clearly there. We have had 8 years and not many things have moved. Why? Because of that polarization. And when people see that polarization among the rich and the powerful, and those who are in control, they feel like they have no control. So then they become out of control, and hence violence. So no, it's not healthy at all. However, I've been an American all my life, will remain an American, and I believe that something out of this craziness has to come out to be
some good
positive.
Will happen. Some good
some
will come
good,
out of it.
I
right.
have to believe that. I have to believe
right.
that. Because we have, like you said, at Trump's, at his rallies, we have, I saw a military veteran pushing another person who was of a different ethnicity, pushing them away from Trump. And they had on a Trump sign. They were a Trump supporter trying to get to his hand and shake his hand. And I just thought, what in the world?
Well, let me ask you this. You know, one thing Trump has been accused of is the fact that he's not PC. He's not politically correct. And I wonder on that real quickly enough here, this point of being PC. You know, it's like this whole conversation of Muslims, which has been taken totally out of context as far as
yes.
I'm concerned. Because, you know, when Donald Trump said, he said, we need to freeze for a temporary point here till we know what's going on in our country because something is wrong. Now, listen, I speak to experts all the time on Islam and what's going on with Muslims. And, you know, there are some very scary things. And they tell me what the signs are. They tell me what the Quran is. I know what's going on here. And yet, you know, a lot of people in the political environment are in denial. So Donald Trump comes out, he makes a statement. Now, he didn't say he hated Muslims. He didn't say he hated Islam. He didn't say we would ban them forever. Now, obviously, a lot of people on the left and some on the right took what he said and they totally changed the words and made him into a bigot, a racist. When I don't think that was his initial intention. I think it was, listen, we need to keep America safe. We need to temporarily ban the incoming of all because we're having problems. These are the people who want to blow us up. Was he wrong for saying that? And where are we in this whole PC culture, Dr. Bev?
You know, with Donald Trump, I can't even go there with you, okay? Neurobiologists have said that he is seriously mentally ill and not definitely ready to lead the country. And his PC, that gives him away. I'm not necessarily one who believes in, you've heard my mouth before, in the PC. sometimes we have to move out of that circle.
Yeah, you're not a PC person at all, by the way.
Definitely.
You've told me what avenue to get off a couple of times,
right.
Even.
So, you know, I'm not going in that direction as to PC. However, I believe that for my candidate, for my person who I would want to choose as president, that they would be able to talk with any country, have a dialogue, not get angry, not shut down. Okay, well, we're not going to talk to you anymore. We're just going to bomb your country or something like that. We can't go out like that as politicians. That is not America. That's not the sound of America. We are supposed to be about peace and teaching people how to have character and integrity. And what Donald Trump said, I don't believe that he meant it in a bigoted way, but he's a money man. He's a you know, he's a reality show kind of thing. And I don't mean reality in a good way. And so he said it to get a response, a spark. And that's what happened. You know, I really think that Donald Trump, I don't know if he's for real or not for real, but he has taken this world, this election, this whole political PC thing to another level.
Well, you take the subject of illegal immigration. You take the topic of nobody's really addressing it. Our political environment has not addressed it ever properly. They talk about it in every general election cycle. And then, as most of the political leaders do, they do nothing about it. So here's a man who comes along who realizes we have a real problem here. And not just a problem with illegal immigration and the fact that it is illegal,
yes,
but the fact that the bad guys are coming over the border as well, the terrorists, and there is no doubt they are doing that. So then he uses that as a talking point for the campaign, and hey, he made it a dialogue that now is going to be addressed. How can that be a bad thing?
Well, see, that's where I have to agree with you on that. It's because Donald Trump is so outrageous. He's making those people who have been sitting back for the past several years in their comfortable little seats going, okay, everything will be okay. I just have to say the word no, 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 many times. And here comes Donald Trump. He takes all the white elephants out of the room.
I love your honesty. Mm-hmm. I always love your honesty. But I want to ask you something right now. I got to ask you this now with what you just said with Donald Trump now. Based on the current state of affairs of our country, consider, Dr. Bev, the letdown we've had with the political establishment. And I'm talking now, you know darn well, I'm talking both Democrats and Republicans, correct?
Yes, correct.
You know Malcolm, you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the whole parade. You can put them all in a bucket and shake it, and they
exactly.
All would spell out the word stupid, okay? Yep. Sorry. But that's what I see. Now,
don't be sorry, because I look at them, as my father used to say, as crabs in a sack. The crabs will stay in that sack, but all the crabs will crawl on each other, do whatever they have to do to get to the top of the bag. And that's what I see.
That's it. You're so right.
In the political system.
You're so right.
They stay quiet. So they don't make any
you're so right.
No moves, but nothing's happening.
All right, but here's what I want to ask you. All those crabs in the bag, and let's talk about the political environment that we have based on all the factors that we know that they are. And we could debate these for days, you know that. But let's just call it what it is. Now, I want to ask you, with what you just said with the illegal immigration, you agreed with me, we talked about Donald Trump. Okay, I hear you. So, and then you said his brand of outrageousness. But let me ask you this. Could it be possible that what we need at this moment, since nobody's listening, nobody's paid attention, we've gotten nowhere, maybe the only thing we needed at this point was a moment of outrageousness? I mean, they're certainly not listening to the rest of it. So how do you get their attention? So, you know, I was not a big fan of Donald Trump out of the gate, but I have to tell you, as I watch and watch and watch him, I find him very interesting. You know, people didn't like Ronald Reagan when he was running, this actor from Hollywood. They thought he was a weirdo, and his ideas were strange, and yet he became one of the greatest presidents in our history. And I want to tell you, when you talk about outrageousness, is there any possibility that what we need at this moment, because of the political class in this country, that maybe what we needed was outrageousness? Am I far off of that train,
okay,
or do you buy any of that?
I'll go with you for one moment of outrageousness. But when you compare Donald Trump to Ronald Reagan...
I didn't compare him. Hold on.
Because Ronald Reagan was, he was out of the box, but he was a gentleman. Nancy Reagan, who just died, she was a first lady.
All right, hold it right there. I've got to take a quick break again. I'm having a great time with you. I love the way you analyze these things. But we're going to be right back. This is Real Life, friends, and we'll continue with Dr. Bev in just a brief moment. Well, this is Real Life. It's Malcolm Out Loud, and we're back with you here. And speaking to Dr. Bev, Dr. Beverly Jackson, and we are having a pretty electrifying conversation, I think, about the state of affairs. And it's a good conversation because, you know, Dr. Bev, I mean, her political ideologies are probably different than mine, and they are based on what you heard, but yet we agree on many things. And so the bet I make with you is that over time, I'm going to wear on her, and I'm going to bring her over to my political way of thinking. Dr. Bev, what do you say to that?
I say when Donald Trump's wife starts dressing like Michelle Obama, maybe we can talk.
Woo!
I've seen a little bit too many naked pictures of her on the airplane, on this, on that. And when we talk about immigration, tell me, how many American wives has Donald Trump had? How many American wives has he had?
I believe it's his third marriage.
It's his third marriage, and none of them have been American. They may be legal, but they're not American.
Well, so why does that matter, though? Why does that matter?
Because he's making such outrageous comments about illegals. And
yeah, but they're not illegal. You see, here's what's out of context all the time. Here's what really gets me about a lot of the thinking and talking and the messaging out there, Dr. Bev.
Okay.
A lot of the media and a lot of the left have taken the point of illegal immigration, and they somehow have broadened that conversation to talk about all immigration, all people. Now, I have never heard this man, or anybody for that matter, that I've seen in this election, be, you know, racist and bigots and, you know, that evil to talk about all people. The problem in this country is we've seemed now to get to this point where we accept illegal immigration as part of our life. We let them come in, we give them health care and food and benefits and all this, and they break the law, and then they continue to break the law, and then we're out of control. We don't protect our borders. But here's a candidate who brings out the point of illegal immigration, but I never heard him say anything bad about legal immigration. And the fact that he's married to, you know, interest in women, I think that's wonderful because I have no problem with that. I don't care who people marry. You marry whatever nationality, I'm an equal guy. I don't really look at people any different than who they are. And so, but the point of illegal immigration has nothing to do with racism and bigotry and evilness. They're not the same conversation, but everybody tries to make them the same conversation. Why?
I'm going to beg to differ with you because, again, we're talking in generalities, okay? Mentioning Donald Trump's wife and her not being from different countries, a different country. That wasn't PC on my part. Thank you. But anyway, nonetheless, Donald Trump has said, hey, if you are wanting to be in this country and you're going to be a worker, Mexican, whatever, we're going to have you over here. That's it. Second part of that is when you say, okay, then in comes, you know, the prisoners, the, you know, drug dealers, the whatever from these foreign countries. That's in part and parcel of what it is. Now, how do we strike a balance and keep them out? Perhaps there's some system that we can develop. That's for, you know, the think tank to come up with something that develops, something that we can develop to not have those people in our country. Yet at the same time, we know that our country needs workers. And this is about business, like you said in the beginning, it's about money. Okay, so we need workers who will work for less, because Americans are not working for less anymore. They want $15. They want $18, where, you know, cheap labor.
Which is why we're losing manufacturing and we're losing making a lot of the goods in this country, Dr. Bev.
There you go. And then Donald Trump says, hey, I'll open the borders for those people who actually want to work and do something, no matter what color legally. You are, no matter what country you come from, legally. But there again, even with our legalism, we've not been able to stop these bombers, these terrorists, these people who come here to sell drugs and hurt people and start cartels. We still haven't.
Well, because we're not protecting our borders. We have an open border policy, both in Mexico and in Canada. I mean, I've seen what they're doing.
And we need to work on that. That's something that we need to work on.
Well, they keep saying that every 4 years, Dr. Bev, and the politicians lie like hell. They haven't done anything about it.
And for the last 8 years, no matter what comes up, no matter what program, no matter what they decide, nobody can disagree. It's like kids on a kindergarten field. Okay. No, I want the ball. No, I want the ball. No, you can't have it. Well, I'm just going to say no. Then, we're just not going to play. There's the Donald Trump for me. Well, we're just not going to play.
Here's the problem.
That's not going
to
work.
Well, I'm going to tell you in a nutshell one quick thing, not to digress, but real fast to digress real quickly. I'm going to tell you this. When President Obama ran back in 2007, he promised, his main campaign theme was to unify the country. George Bush before him, George W. Bush, had not done a good job. He had really created a lot of the problems that Obama also have, spotlighted. I blame both. I blame both administrations for a lot of the problems we have today. But listen, when he ran on that unification, here's the problem. He gets into office. He used all his political capital in jamming healthcare down the Republicans' throats. Now, let me tell you right now, this is not the way you run the office. He had control of the Senate. He had control of the Congress. He could have done anything. He could have said, I'm king for a day. I mean, the man was in control of the program. But then you don't force feed something that's as important and the biggest part of our GDP as healthcare is down the throats of the other political party. He used all his political capital to make that happen. And that's the problem. You can't do that with something as important as healthcare. Okay. He created that divisiveness, I'm telling you right now.
Okay, I want you to just listen to yourself. Okay, Malcolm, and I'm not going to be PC about this, okay? Here's a straight skinny on this. Yes, I agree with you. Obama did push the health care. I agree with that. And I agree that the health care was not what we Americans expected, you know, the low prices and then everybody would be able to fit in. No, it didn't. However, on the other side of that, I saw the Republicans acting like little bullies. No to everything. Okay, if you didn't want the Obamacare to come out, Obama said, okay, help me make it better. No one had a solution. No one had anything. Now, when it comes to these, you know, political people, I don't believe you can force feed them with anything. One of the things that Obama said in one of his, I think it was a State of the Union speech, was that for all of those people sitting in that Congress room, the senators, everybody sitting there, he said, none of you have had to work a 30-year job to get off, to get retirement and get a little bit of Social Security. Everybody in this room is richer than that. None of us have to rely on Social Security. So when we get back to the point of, okay, what has Obama done? I could say, well, I believe he's tried to do many things, but I believe that the left has said, you know what? We're just not going to play. We're just not going to play. Well, it just goes back around and around.
Well, Dr. Bev,
and you're right. Nothing has happened.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. You're right. It goes around and around and around. But as you've just said, that this happened with when the Republicans would say no, no, no. I want to let you in on one little clue. The Democrats did that to Republicans in the Bush administration as well. They said no, 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 no. So here's the problem.
And look at what's happening.
Exactly. But what I'm saying is it's tit for tat in this country. So here's the problem. You have two political parties that are bent on destroying each other, and in the process, they're destroying this country. Would you agree with that?
Now, that I agree with.
I thought so.
That I agree with.
So
they are destroying this country.
They are.
They're destroying the mental health of individuals. They're bringing divisiveness in families. It's just,
So let's do this. In the last minute,
all around.
And I have the last minute or two I have left here. I want to ask you this. What's your message right now?
I'm like you. I'm ready for, you know, if it takes Donald Trump to shake up the apple cart and cause this chaos to bring about peace.
Right.
All right. Then you got me as a Donald.
Well, Trump. Then I think we might be talking ahead, because I think that's what's going to happen, young lady. And I think the outrageousness, I'm convinced now. I'm looking at things from a different vantage point now. And I'm convinced there's a purpose to all of this. I really believe so, Dr. Bev. And I believe Americans are going to come along, and we will see better days ahead as we've come through a very trying moment of time. We'll leave it right there. Dr. Bev Beverly Jackson. Again, I want to give you her website, drbevmentalhealth.com. drbevmentalhealth.com. Also, she's got an outstanding book you can get on Amazon. And love the title, Know the Word No. Know the Word No. We'll have to talk about that another time with her, but that sounds like a great book. This is Real Life, friends. We've had a great conversation. Healthy, thanks for joining me. We'll see you back on the network on America Out Loud. Remember, folks, get involved, get loud.